At the start of that talks about fear as well, which is appropriate and seems to be what the Lord's saying to us tonight. But just that verse 4, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And that's, I think there's two things there at the end, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Have you ever met somebody and you just think their personality is just so precious and beautiful? Like they may be an old granny or they may be even a little toddler and their personality is just beautiful. And you think that's amazing and they are amazing. And if you multiply that by a million times, that's how the Lord was. When he was on earth, so many people were attracted to his beauty. So multitudes of people came to him to see him. He was beautiful. His personality was beautiful. The Bible said he had no great form or comeliness. He wasn't particularly good looking. But his personality shone. His love shone from his being. And the psalmist says that just to dwell in his temple, to inquire of him, to look at his beauty, and just to see and inquire. That means, you know, when the things that we seek. You know, God, if we delight in him, he gives us the desires of our heart. When we inquire of him, he answers. If we knock, a door is opened. When we seek him, he is found. Our Lord is so precious and so beautiful, more than all the riches on all the planet. If we are seeking after riches, turn away from that longing and turn to Jesus who can satisfy the soul. The Bible says as we share communion, we're to do this and to remember his death until he comes. To remember what he did on the cross. And I think when we're in heaven, it may be different. And I've been thinking recently about the sacrifices that were done in the old tabernacle, that the priests offered the sacrifice. Then that was put behind and they entered into the Holy of Holies. They entered into the presence of God where they could see his beauty and his holiness. And we take these emblems. It's a bit of juice and a bit of cracker, but we remember what the Lord did on the cross. And in knowing that sacrifice was made, that we can enter into the very presence of God and behold his beauty. We may not be able to see it with our physical eyes, but with our spiritual eyes, we can see the beauty and the glory of the Lord. And I think that is amazing. There is nothing more precious than spending time with Jesus. When he is everything to us, spending time with him is most precious, and we remember that he paid for it himself by his blood on the cross. So I'm going to ask two servers to come out, and we're going to pass around the emblems. We'll take one each, a bit of the cracker and a bit of the juice, and then we'll eat and drink together at the end. So if we could have two servers, maybe Roy and Simon, just to take the emblems around. And the Bible says in Corinthians to consider ourselves and to think on Jesus' death on the cross. think we'll leave the notices to the end. We'll just go straight into listen to what Roy and Rachel have got up to in Guatemala. So over to you.
Yeah, so when Roy gets up here. Okay. Yeah, so we went to Guatemala for 5 weeks with, I don't know how many of you know about Mission Guatemala. Obviously, they've been here a few times, the Humphreys family. What was I going to say?
That's it.
Yeah. Well, maybe just... we'll maybe just play the first video, hopefully. That kind of explains what they do better than we can. And then we'll go from there.
See the puntos juntos. So, ok, cambiamos los puntos para...
Por eso. Va, entonces número 5. ¿Por qué decimos...
That was a little video that they made that in 2015. So when it said they've been out there 10 years, that's actually 12 years now. And I think the number of children in the school might have gone up as well since then. So, but yeah, that's just a little, give you a little idea. That video showed the, showed everything, the school, the church, and every way that Jesus is working in that town, which is a town which is called Santiago, It's about half an hour's drive out of the capital city. This one. Oh, next picture, please. Oh, that was the Humphreys family on that first picture. Okay, hold on. Humphreys family, including two dogs, Sheba, and Captain Digby is the one that Sophie's holding there.
Sheba's a guard dog. You need to. The first time we met her, we had to not reach our hands out to her because she would have bitten them off. Which is quite friendly once she gets to know you.
Captain Digby's just a.
Captain Digby's lovely.
He's a very friendly little man.
Yeah.
Okay. Dog. Dog, not man. Yeah, so that's the family. Luke and Steph now have two kids. That's Theo there, but they've now got little Henry, or Enrique in Spanish. They're the ones that. The family that moved out to Guatemala 12 years ago because they felt the call of God to go out there. And although fearful and without funds, they listened to God's call and moved out to Guatemala, not knowing anybody, but just trusting in the Lord's word. Hold on a minute. One of the scriptures that I've looked at was Deuteronomy 31, 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Of course, that was what the Lord said to Moses and Joshua before they eventually went into the promised land. But it applies to each one of us today, and it applied to the Humphreys family as they were moving out. We don't have to be afraid because God is with us.
Luke and Sophie were just teenagers when they moved out there, which was a massive thing when you're 15 and 16 to suddenly move away from everything you've known to Guatemala. But God has blessed them both. Luke is married to an American girl called Steph, who he met. She was on a missions trip out there. And then Sophie's just got married to Juancho in November. He's Guatemalan. And that's who we stayed with, Sophie and Juancho, and they really looked after us and were great. To us when we were out there.
Juancho likes nachos.
He says he's Mexican, but he's not really.
He's not Mexican. That's Luke. Yep, next.
So this is Santiago from the windows of the school.
That's obviously where they've been called to. It's a town that's actually up in the hills, even though the people in the town don't actually realise that. When Humphreys told them that they were 6,000 feet above sea level and there was 20% less oxygen there, they were like really surprised. They didn't because they've never been out of the town really, or out of the local area. They didn't realise that they were up in the hills. They thought they were kind of at sea level, so that was quite an education to them. Santiago is probably about the same size as Penrith, but that's where the similarities end, really, with Penrith. It's about the same size, about the same amount of people.
Yeah, so it's about an hour, maybe an hour out of the capital, or half an hour, depending on traffic. And the Humphreys live in San Lucas, which is like a commuter town, which is... I mean, there will be indigenous people that live there, but it's mostly like Spanish Guatemalan people. And then just 10 minutes down the road is Santiago, which is completely indigenous town. So that's like natives. And it's like, it's very hard to explain what it's like there. In England, I mean, I knew it was dangerous when we were going to go out there, but it's really hard to actually comprehend what it's like when in England you can just walk around and do whatever you want, whereas in Santiago there's no other white people or English American people that go there. You just would not go into the town. Actually, when the Humphreys went out there, the people that they first met who were missionaries had never gone there, and they'd lived there for like years and years. They'd never gone in because they were so... It just has... Obviously, it's just a dangerous place with lots of gangs and stuff. And, yeah, they couldn't put us there, living there, because we'd just get, like, kidnapped and... yeah, so it's just really, really strange. I mean... We didn't really walk around. I mean, we did walk around at one point, but most of the time we just kind of got dropped off outside the school and went inside. And I didn't feel unsafe, but you're definitely aware that it's a dangerous place to be. But actually, there's like Gang 18, which is like the big gang, which is from like California right down to South America. There's this one gang. And the leader of the gang in Guatemala actually went to the school when he was a kid. He went to the school when he was a kid, so the Humphreys know him. So it's quite good, really, because it's kind of... they've had trouble with other gangs before, but I don't think he would do anything to them now because they've taught him and he knows that they're there to help and stuff, so it's good.
They didn't teach him in any gang...
No.
..sort of way, like... How to, you know, any of them skills, just,
yeah.
They just, but that's a real blessing from God as well, that
in a
strange way that they've taught him, and now he has a lot of respect for them, but he also happens to be a really dangerous man, so just God protecting them every step of the way.
And that's what we don't want the kids, like a lot of them leave school when they're like 13 to start working full time. And once they get in those gangs, there's no getting out of them. You don't get out of them alive. So it's really just trying to stop them from making that choice, really.
Yeah. What's next? That's a car. There's loads of pickup trucks like that, and Toyota Hiluxes. Yeah, Simon. Yeah. They get them all from America, like after they've been crashed. And we went through this town one day. You'd absolutely love Simon because it's called
Chimaltenango,
but then Juancho's renamed it Toyota Tenango because it's just as you drive, there's just Toyotas everywhere, all down the side of the roads.
Yeah.
Next. The church.
So the top left is a picture from Youth Club. I don't know if you can see it that clearly, but it's Luke and Roy being a bit silly before we played a game. So youth group was Tuesday night, was it, Roy?
Yeah.
And... it was just kind of like playing games, and then Luke did a Bible talk, which we really enjoyed going to. Obviously, we don't speak Spanish, so we just kind of had to try and play the games as best as we could. Oh, yeah.
On the right, that's a kid called Antonio. He's preaching. Well, he's not actually. He's just pretending because it was funny. but he's a really cool kid, and is... He's got two sisters, and have we got them coming up next? Well, that's Antonio.
But that
anyway.
Was from Bible study.
He was when the Humphreys family found his mum and him and his sisters. She was really, really struggling. His mum and I think they maybe just had two kids at that point, and they were malnourished, and they were like a lot smaller than a normal child would be.
Yeah, because Antonio's 13, so he is really small. I mean, Guatemalan people are small,
But he's even smaller.
But he's small, yeah.
Yeah.
And his little sister's 10 and she looks like she's about 6. Because, well, she was a baby when they found her, the youngest. But she was kind of, she was like a 1 maybe, but she was like a vegetable. Like, didn't do anything because she just didn't have any nourishment in her body. So, but they're doing well now. But Antonio and Catherine still have like learning difficulties, really. So it's quite sad.
Okay.
But yeah, that was from Bible study, which was a Wednesday night, and Linda was sharing about, it was really good what she was sharing about. It was like unity in the church and kind of there not being any like quarrelling or disagreement in the church and stuff, so that was really good. And then the bottom left is Sunday school. I'm just doing some colouring there. So.
Mm-hmm. Next, please. We prayed that before we went there, before we went out, that we would just be able to be a real help in every part of the mission, that we wouldn't just be going out there in vain, and we weren't, against what Sid said, we weren't going out for a holiday. That's not what we wanted anyway. And then it turned out the need was photocopying when we got out there. So they can't. It's a struggle to afford to buy textbooks for every child in the school. This is in the older, more like secondary school age. They did do, but they found out it's actually better now to buy one and photocopy it all. I don't know if they'd want me to say this, actually. I never thought of that, but that's what we're doing anyway. photocopying the one lots of times and then stapling them all together. So
it took a surprisingly long amount of time to make all these books, but we
got It took us five weeks.
Well, it depends on the class size, but about 12 maybe of each, or
to 16.
12, yeah. Oh, just every language for every year group.
Yeah.
We didn't do what I don't think we finished all of it, which is a shame, but.
So they want us back in 3 months' time.
Yeah.
The next lot when they need them.
Juancho sent you a picture of him, a selfie of himself photocopying, saying, doing your work.
With a face like this. That.
So this is preschool. It's not actually, so in the mornings, because at the moment they're building a new school and church building. But at the moment they're in El Refugio, which is the refuge, and that's like 1 4-story building. So they have lower school in the morning and like secondary school in the afternoon. So we call it preschool, but it's really from like 3 or 4 to about 6 or 7, I would say, and there's 4 classes. I went a few times on my own just with Linda, but Roy came a few times as well. And we really, really loved preschool. It was a lot of fun. Just these kids are really cute. The one with Roy on the lower left is called Ian, so Roy really liked that and sent a picture to Ian of him. That's little Doris, she was really sweet as well. You notice how in the top left he's lost a lot of his teeth. And I was a bit confused about this because obviously they have a poor diet. They just eat like, I was thinking, how can they have such bad teeth? Like, they don't eat very often, but actually sweets are really cheap, so they do eat a lot of sweets. But I think there's a bread that they eat a lot of that's like really sugary, so obviously that's probably why. And there's like little tiendas everywhere, which is little shops, and they just sell like Coke and sweets and stuff, so that's probably why. Which is a shame. There's quite a few dentists, which I was really intrigued by, but we didn't go in. We had a lot of fun with them, didn't we?
It's kind of dentist where they would probably change your tyre for you as well if you wanted. Like, they do everything.
This is like the smallest class, which is called Los Angelitos, which is the angels, I think. That's Steph's class, but she had Henry halfway through the time we were there. So, but the women, the women from the church all work in the preschool, and they do a really good job now. They've all been trained really well, so they were able to head it up while she was off. And they do a lot of colouring, and also they're like dressing up there because they don't have any books at home, they don't have TV, so Linda's trying to get their imagination sparked. So, they really enjoy dressing up and things.
Well, yeah. While she was there, she was doing slideshows, and she was putting pictures of spaceships and then putting their teacher's face in the spaceship as if, like, they were in a spaceship, and kids are absolutely loving that.
Yeah.
Like, just things like that to try and...
Get them to imagine themselves in a spaceship like little kids would do in England. But that's just not how their mind works, because their life is just quite serious, really, because obviously they've not got a lot and it's dangerous where they live. Yeah, and just some dolls there and just playing. Yeah. I'll talk about the little girl in the hat later, Mariella. But
that's Rachel there.
That's me. First day of school. Yeah, that was just before we left with the whole of the lower school. And that big picture of the sun, actually, Rachel Wright painted that while she was out there.
It's amazing. Really amazing. Yeah. She did great. Is she here? Okay. Is she in here?
Oh, is that a video? It's video two, try and get it to.
The rough translation of the song they're singing is I have a friend and his name is Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Every time because Linda does a presentation every Friday, and she comes in and she says, Hola niños, which is hello children, and then they all absolutely scream.
Hola, señor
Linda.
Like screaming.
Really loud. So
football. Guatemalans love football, and now actually love cricket as well, but only because of the Humphreys family, because they love cricket so much. That was another way we were able to help, because I was able to help start a football league for the school PE. I took down everyone's names and split them all up into teams. And then, we started a league that all the lads could play in, and then the girls as well. So that was like a real blessing, because they were so excited about it. The lads would come in every morning, and if I'd put a league table up, they'd be all like really interested to look at it and see like where they were in the league and stuff like that. It's good, because they wouldn't normally have something like that, so that was good.
Because they do this football in the cancha, it's called. I don't know what that means in Spanish.
The court.
Yeah, something like that. Which is like in the town, and that's just like I wasn't allowed to go because they had to walk there, I think they'd been out one time and the gang members started following them, and Sophie had been out there, so they'd sent Sophie back in. So I would have really liked to go and see them playing, but I wasn't allowed to go. So that's just an example of what it's like over there. I was a bit nervous. Well, slightly nervous when Roy was walking there, but
I'm really hard, so I could go.
Had Gio with him, who we'll tell you about later. That's the reason you felt safe.
Yeah.
Because Gio was with you.
Yeah. Giovanni. Football. That's the girls above watching the boys play before they play. And then that's some football. up and down. That's a kid called Juan Jose. And he likes skateboarding as well. So yeah,
there's so many kids called Juan Jose. It means John Joseph in Spanish, and like just almost everyone seems to be called Juan Jose or Juan Josue or Juancho or yeah.
Next. Is that a video? Yeah, can we get that? Yeah, so so this one's I wasn't the best at refereeing because I couldn't actually screaming, but it was also really good in the way that because that must have been one of the later ones, because that they're all kind of like swarming around the ball, like all like really going for it. But like in the first few, they'd never done football with them before, because all the girls said, "We don't want to play football, we're not doing it." Well, kind of, they didn't really want to. So then when we got the league sorted, like at the start, like most of them were just sort of not interested, and like when their game was on, they just like stay still, not move around and try and get the ball or anything or score. But then eventually they got really into it like that, and that was really nice.
Who was that top goal scorer? What did she? That really good. That girl was really good.
Evelyn.
Yeah.
Yeah. She got good.
She was good.
Yeah. She scored goals.
Yeah.
So that was a real blessing that the girls got to enjoy football so much, because they won't do anything like that, and they would never be invited to play football by anyone. So that was nice.
Yeah, and also it's going to be really good when they have the new building, because they're going to have like a playground as well, so it's like a safe place for them all to play, so it'll be really good. And also we were going to have a video, but we couldn't get this video. But one of the other things that we did was Sophie asked me, her class on the curriculum, they're meant to be doing dance. So me and Sophie taught them a dance to just a Christian song. We kind of copied it off YouTube, so that was really fun. Because dancing's not part of their culture at all. And they thought it was really funny, and they're quite embarrassed, but they actually really loved it, so that was really good. And then also I helped them do this science project, because they were doing about the moon and the phases of the moon, so we helped them make that. And the girl in the middle is Iris, who is Joy's sponsor child.
Can you just zoom in on this one and think who she
looks like? Yeah, just... She's a really, really nice little girl. She's on my favourite table. Yeah, so she's a lovely little girl.
Wow.
My sponsor child didn't come back this year to school, which was really sad because I wanted to meet her. But she'll be working full time now. She's 13. A lot of the kids work in the morning to school, but her parents have taken her out of school now, so it's quite sad. And Joy's other sponsor child was the same, so have to find her. We found her a new one.
Some of the kids, like even like 9, 10 years old, you'll like sometimes teachers will find them just like falling asleep, but they won't tell them off or anything because they know it's just because if there's lessons in the afternoon, they'll have been working all morning. Like they'd probably get up about 4 a.m. Yeah. And like do pretty much a full day's work and then come to school. So it's not.
Like garbage, like rubbish collection.
Yeah, a lot of farming. Yeah. They'll work in the fields, and they'll get. I don't know exactly what their wage will be, but it's pennies. They'll work in the fields a lot.
That'll go straight to the families. It's not their wage, obviously. And it's a shame because some of the parents don't have much of a respect for education, so they'll take them out of school. Then they're stuck in that cycle where they'll never have a good wage. They'll always be, because they're not educated. So it's really good if they can go right through school because then they've got a chance at a better job. But like the indigenous people are really looked down on in Guatemala and treated poorly. They'll be the kind of like cleaners, the nannies, that kind of thing. So, and they would never get accepted into a Guatemalan university just because of who they are, whether they were smart enough or not. So the kids that do university do it online with like an American college. So this is baby Henry, who was born while we were there.
That's Luke's
little one, and Theo, his older brother, has just sat down there. And like just wanted to share a little bit about how the health system in Guatemala is private, so the health system for like the middle class kind of people. But it's really corrupt, so they just do that. You can't trust them because they'll just do anything for money. And pretty much about 90% of women have cesareans, whether they need them or not, because they get paid more. And most people just accept it, but a woman might want a natural birth, but then they'll say, oh, you need a cesarean, and they'll kind of use fear to say, oh, you know, your baby's going to die if you don't have one, which probably isn't true. Which Steph didn't want, and she had, they had got a doctor who, for Henry, who they kind of had a bad experience with Theo's birth, and they got a doctor who, they just didn't really trust the whole way through. They'd made her sign something to say that she wouldn't do a cesarean unless like she actually really needed to. But then just like the week before Henry was born, a missionary got in touch with them and said, there's this doctor that I've used for all of my births, and he's delivered, like there was some, they worked in an orphanage and like some of the teenagers had got pregnant and he delivered all of their babies and naturally. So Steph went to see him, and then that night she went into labour and he delivered the baby. So just a complete miracle. And he was born really healthy and well, so he's doing really good now. Just a really nice little guy, isn't he? Henry. And yeah, Steph is just so brave to do that. I mean, she's a really just like quiet, chilled out person, but she's really brave because it's just really scary and bringing up those little boys in such a dangerous place as well. But they just have faith that God will protect them and look after them. And
yeah, they live in faith every day, and it's amazing to see.
Oh, yeah, so that was his dedication in the top left. And then that little picture was just on Facebook the other day. And I think Luke had captioned it something like future, just something about them like changing the world for Christ. So, yeah, it's cute. And then there's just a few stories about just some, like, different people that really touched us. So this is a little girl called Sephora who's 3, and she's in preschool, and she's absolutely gorgeous, as you can tell, but a real monkey. She just has loads of energy. She knows that she's really cute, so she knows that she can get away with things. And her mum was 15 when she had her, and there's no dad around, so... another woman in the town has taken her in, and she's just been brought up alongside all of them. So it's just, there's a lot of kind of like teen pregnancies and things. I think there's like some army guys that hang around, and they seem to get a lot of the girls pregnant and then don't really look after them. So
on the left, that's Antonio again, and then another little lad called Jonathan. He's really cool. And then that's Giovanni. Took him to Subway. He got a cheesecake. He's absolutely loving it. We were sat out in the sun, like, oh yeah, we'll get a good tan here. But he was in the shade. Guatemalans don't like being out in the sun.
No.
Just trying to get tan, weren't they?
Yeah.
But Giovanni has been an amazing blessing. He's been in the school since, well, like he was probably one of the first kids in the school, and now he's, what age is he now?
21, I think.
He's 21.
He's younger than us, but yeah, he doesn't look younger than us because he's really massive. Stacked.
he's so muscly. That's why we weren't afraid when we were going out into the town. He's mega hard.
Well, he's actually like grew up with all the gang members, and he's like really good friends with them. So we feel pretty safe when Gio's
not that
around.
Good friends, but he knows them. Like
yeah.
He's not
good friends with them now, but he was when
he's
he
not
was
a gang
a kid.
Member. But yeah, he's amazing because he's studying. He's doing his university course now in maths. And of course, he's doing it online whilst teaching in the school. He's a teacher in the school and, you know, teaches maths and other subjects as well. You know, having come through the school. And also, he is, like, youth leader as well. He's, like, youth leader and, yeah... And also, they're training him to be a sound technician as well for music.
Yeah, for Luke's band. Luke is like a quite well-known musician in Guatemala. So they get a bit of an income from that, doing concerts and stuff. So Juancho used to be like a sound guy that used to do sound for like Red Hot Chili Peppers and like big bands. So they've trained Gio up, and Juancho said Gio could definitely do that now, so... He's got a lot of avenues for jobs that he might want to do.
Yeah. But he's totally committed to the work as well, and he just loves Jesus and loves to serve as well. So that's like a great encouragement for them, for, you know.
Because that's what they want. They want like Guatemalan people to carry on the work as well that they can trust, but there's not a huge group of them that they can trust really.
Yeah. Yeah, like the... It's great, like that they're educating lots of kids, but the main aim is, you know, the education is just a tool to bring them to Jesus, and obviously that's the thing that's going to change their lives. So, yeah. How far are we through? Is that?
Oh yeah, this is baby Paula, who we really fell in love with. She's just absolutely gorgeous little baby. Her mum is in the preschool and she's a teacher, so. And she's taken on Steph's class while Steph is with Henry. So she teaches with Paola on her back. So I just helped her out by cuddling Paola for a while. And, yeah, she's a really sweet little baby that we loved.
Next.
That's Antonio's sisters, Dulce and Catherine. So Catherine's the one that's 10. She's really tiny. And then Dulce's 15. But their mum is small as well, so they probably were always going to be small, but... It's quite hard with Catherine because you kind of want to like cuddle her and put her on your knee, but she's actually 10 years old, but because she looks so little, you just... But yeah, they're really cute kids. And then these girls, Florrie and Gloria. Florrie on the left and Gloria on the right in both pictures. They're about 17 and 16, and they're kind of like Gio and... they're both still in school, but they do like marking for Sophie. They take it home to do. They're always at church. They're just really great girls. We're hoping Gloria and Gio will get married. Gloria speaks good English. Florrie wasn't as good.
But most don't.
Most of them don't, though. And Florrie actually hasn't always been coming to church and stuff, but I think just about September, October time, Florrie's friends with a girl called Evelyn, whose parents come to church, but Evelyn's kind of got herself involved with this gang member. And basically, Florrie and Evelyn ended up being they got them drunk and gave them like a date rape drug, and they ended up in hospital. So it's like mixing the two of them, like really bad. I don't actually know what else happened, but it was really sad when I found out. So then they tried to like extortion Florrie, so basically said that if she didn't pay them this amount of money, they'd kill her. So Florrie and Gloria ended up having to live with Sophie and Juancho for a while. And the Humphreys got a lawyer involved, and so they've now got a restraining order against this guy. So if him or any of his family come close to her, they go straight to jail, which is amazing because Florrie probably wouldn't be alive otherwise. But Evelyn's still involved with this guy. It's such a shame because she's just, I don't know what's going on in her head, but she's not going to, they've said she can't come to school now and stuff. She still comes to church, but yeah, it's really sad. She just can't seem to see that, obviously. It's really bad being involved with him.
That's Juan Jose. We really got on well, even though we couldn't speak a lot of, could only speak sort of broken languages to each other. We got on really well. He's a skateboarder. We brought out a skateboard for him, but I didn't actually end up giving it to him, and we're there, but I think they might have given it to him by now, but I don't know.
We're just praying for him, really. Aren't we? Yeah,
we're praying for him that he'll... He's at quite a important stage in his life. He comes to church, and he is on fire for Jesus, but he gets tugged by the world and by, you know, his friends that aren't with Jesus, so we pray for him a lot as well.
Yeah, because we loved him and he showed us obviously his best side, but towards the end of our time there, his mum would come to church on our last day when we were going to give him this skateboard, and she was crying because he'd been really nasty to her. So he's just going through a bit of a time, but we're praying for him because he has a lot of potential, and yeah, we really like him a lot. And that's Juan Jose. And this is Mariella, who Joy's now going to sponsor, who is just absolutely gorgeous little girl. And she, her dad was an alcoholic and her mum died, so she's been taken in by her auntie now. and she's got a hat on in the other picture because she had lice, so she had to have all her hair cut off. But she's now just started to grow a bit now, so she's really, really cute and lovely.
And there's lots more kids that don't have sponsors.
Yeah.
You know, if anyone feels called. What's this?
Harry and Wills.
Sophie and Juancho have got two dogs called Harry and Wills.
Who we loved.
Yeah. Next. Yeah.
Well, like on our last day, I think it was our last day or second to last day, we did some house visits. And this, in the background, this is the house of a lady called Marga, who is in the church. And it was just really horrendous where she lives. I went to Rwanda when I was 19, and I went into, like, mud huts and stuff. But this was, like, worse than anything I've ever seen in my life. It was just really, really awful. So we were quite upset, weren't we?
Yeah. I was fighting back the tears, to be honest. Yeah. But I didn't... Like, I didn't want to cry. I kind of didn't want to cry in front of her because Yeah, if someone came to my house and they just cried, I'd probably be not too happy with them. So, no, it was really, I couldn't believe, yeah, what she it's just like a few bits of tin round. And then you go into, it's her and, she have two kids or three? She has three sons. And it's just like a tiny little room where it's just tin walls. And then just kind of a bed or like a pile of sheets anyway, and that's what them four sleep on. So
they're hoping to raise some money to build her a better house. But she lives with near her two brothers, and one of her brothers is nice, well, three brothers, but the other two are quite nasty to her. So we'd be worried if we built her something that they would try and take it. So we have to kind of see what we can do about that.
But that is something that's in the pipeline as well, built, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting a house.
I mean, it would just be like two concrete rooms, but it would be so much better than what she's got now.
Next.
Yeah, that's just some pictures of us with her.
Yeah.
And that's Joel in the bottom corner. It means Joel in Spanish, and he's a really funny little boy. He was in the video as well. And then that's Nardi's house, who's got Dulce, Antonio, and Catherine. And they pay the rent on that, so it's just one concrete room, which is still obviously not a lot, but it's a lot better than where we were.
Next.
The three kids.
Next.
Let's talk about Sophie and Honcho a little bit.
What was that? They're amazing. We lived with them while we were there for 5 weeks. And they're really cool. Great example of.
Well, like, Honcho's only been a Christian for about a year. He's the drummer in Luke's band. But he's given up, like, a job and everything, and he works at the school now. And then they work Monday to Friday every afternoon. They don't get paid, obviously. And then he'll be doing, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night gigs as well to get an income in. So he works so hard. He was pretty much exhausted the whole time we were there. And he got quite ill, actually, towards the end of the time we were there. And Sophie and Honcho they have one person sponsoring them, £40 a month. So they really don't have a lot of money, which was, like, they've been living off bread and black beans before we got there. We gave them some money for food, but then that kind of ran out because food is so expensive in Guatemala. It's like £5 for a bag of crisps, like a big bag. So then we kind of were just eating tortillas and black beans, which was fine. But, yeah, we're praying for some more sponsors to come in for them because, yeah, they just kind of live in faith all the time, which is great, and God always provides, but it's quite a stressful place to live sometimes for them, so.
Next. That's you lot. That's before we went away with the Guatemala flag. We took out the flag and we put that photo onto the flag, and they've now got that up in the church. So there's a picture of this church in their church, and it says on it that just that we love them and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, just keep praying for the Humphreys. Just what they do is absolutely incredible. I was going to say, actually, when we went to Nardi's house, we parked and we had to walk, and I was slightly nervous about this because I'd not walked around in Santiago. I wasn't nervous. I knew God was going to protect us and look after us, but you do think, oh my goodness, people can see us walking around now and they don't know who we are. And we started walking down this little alleyway, and then Russ just stopped, and he was like, and he was chatting to Sophie, and I saw this guy just stood there outside the house, and I was like, and then Sophie was like, oh, there's a gang member there. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And anyway, we went in, and the whole time I was sat in the house, I was thinking,
I hadn't heard you lot saying this, by the way. I was just walking along behind you and just went, hello.
Yeah, that's quite a good way to be with them, to be honest.
Yeah.
But he knows them anyway, apparently. I was scared we were going to come out and there'd be a massive group of people who were ready to take us away. But when we got out, he wasn't there. So it's fine.
It's because I'd been so friendly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we encourage you to pray for everything that's happening out there, because you know, without prayer, it's nothing. Praying, support, stuff like that. Do we have anything else? Should we pray? And then, okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your hand that guides us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you've got a plan for each and every one of us. And Lord, even the people that in this world that everyone else has forgotten, Lord, you have not forgotten. Lord, we thank you tonight that we were able to share about the work that you're doing, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, that everything that we've said that's of you, Lord, that will be truly remembered, Lord. And I pray that this would, Lord, this would strengthen this church, Lord, and make us realise what we do have, Lord. Lord, and I pray that we would go on to be on fire for you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for each and every one here, Lord, that we would come closer to you as a fellowship, as brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen.